This morning we're going to look at a passage of scripture found in Mark's Gospel. But I just want to ask a question before we look at this. And the question is, are there things in your life where you feel that they are hindering you in your walk with Jesus? Are there areas in your life where spiritually you feel somehow that they are withered and they are not as they used to be? If that's where you feel you are, then I feel this message this morning wants to bring you a sense of hope, a sense of expectation, a recognition that God is someone who comes and ministers into those areas in our lives where we feel spiritually withered. Been seasons in my own life where I have felt somehow or other dry and felt that my life spiritually was not flourishing as once it did. There were times when again I have felt in my spiritual walk with Jesus that there have been hindrances, areas in my life that have prevented me from moving on into that next phase, in that next chapter that God had for me. The same can apply to churches as well. We can find ourselves in the situation where we feel that we are stagnating, that we are somehow not flourishing or growing or expanding. And yet God is someone who wants to enable us to realize that even in those moments, in those times when we perhaps feel that we're like that, that he is someone that can break in and break through. One of the greatest prayers that we have is actually found in the Old Testament, and it's a very short prayer, and it's a message that is so powerful. And I've spoken on this message previously in other church fellowships, but the prayer of Jabez, prayer that says, "Oh Lord, that you would bless me." Here's a man whose background was one of pain, a man who carried the stigma of a name that declared that the chapter that he had come from was a dark chapter and a difficult chapter and a hard chapter, and it impacted on his life. And yet he comes to that place where he realizes that his past does not need to determine his future. Someone here, your past does not need to determine your future. For the God who is present with you is a God who can transform your past in the sense that he can take hold of what seems to be so negative and so difficult and so hard, and he can transform it into something that becomes powerful and awesome as he molds and shapes you. So Jabez says, "Lord, that you would bless me, that you would expand my territory, that you would keep me from harm, and that your hand would be with me." And the wonderful statement that we receive in that, at the end of that prayer, is contained in just a few words: "And God granted his request." And so let's turn to a miracle that we see in the New Testament, found in Mark chapter 3, and this is what we read, reading from the New International Version. "Another time he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Stand up in front of everyone.' Then Jesus asked them, 'Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger, and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus." May God and his blessing to his precious word. I realise how much I do with my two hands. Because I am a keen fisherman, as many of you will know by now, one of the things that often I'm needing to use my hands for is for tying a hook onto a line. And I have a very small piece of metal with a tiny little hole in it, and I have a very thin piece of nylon line, and I have to thread that piece of line through the hole. And then once I've got it through the hole, I have to turn the line round itself and then create a loop and then push the end of the line through that loop and then pull it tight. You now know how to tie on hooks. But to try and do that one-handed would be impossible. I need both my hands. And I found that in times past when I might have injured one of my hands, that it's really been difficult. You know, imagine I'm going home to a lovely roast dinner, roast chicken, roast potatoes, Yorkshire pudding, some vegetables go with it, followed by rice pudding. Maureen knows that on a Sunday it's roast dinner. That's what we read in Hezekiah chapter 1, verse 6. In case any of you don't know this, there isn't a book called Hezekiah, and it doesn't talk about roast dinner in there either. But the fact remains that if I only had one hand, I would be able to probably manage it, but it would be very difficult and it would be much longer for me to be able to eat it. That's why the enemy tries to hinder us. That's why the enemy tries to do his utmost to cause areas in our spiritual life to become withered, to create that environment where perhaps we no longer are excited by the word of God, where perhaps our prayer life was not what it once was, where coming to church no longer carries the excitement and the expectation that it once did, where meeting with God's people is not so much a delight but more of a duty, where there is that sense in which we somehow feel that we have lost touch with the awesome presence of God and with the power of his Spirit. He hinders us through fear. He hinders us through being people who might be unforgiving. He hinders us through the use of gossip. He hinders us through the use of negative words. He hinders us in all sorts of ways, but God wants to break in. There's a song sung by Queen, and in it there are these words, "I want to break free." And I'm so glad that Jesus came to set us free. The Bible says, "He who the Son sets free is free indeed." And so Sunday has arrived. And the first question I asked myself as I think about this man who had this withered hand was, why did he go to church? Did he go to church because it was the Sabbath? And that was what you always did. It was part of a habit. It was part of what he would do every Sabbath. And is that the reason why you're at church this morning? Did he go to church because for whatever reason he felt that he needed to be there? Maybe he'd had a particularly difficult week. Maybe he was going through a difficult chapter in his life and somehow he thought that church perhaps would be the place to be, where you might be able to find some support and some help and some comfort. Did he go to church because of the fact that someone had invited him to come along? And so because a friend had invited him, he went along with that friend to go to church. Did he go to church because he'd heard that there was a guest speaker? And he thought, oh, I want to hear this speaker. I'm going to go to church because I hear that they might have something worthwhile hearing and listening to. The Bible doesn't tell us why he was in church. But the fact remains he was there. He was there with that condition. And there with that condition, what is obviously intimated in my view from the Bible's perspective is, He expected to arrive in that condition, and he expected to leave in that condition as well. He had no idea this was a day when he was going to find that a miracle would break into his life. And having arrived at church, one of the things that he immediately discovers is that Jesus is there. Jesus was in church as well. The presence of Jesus was there. The Bible tells us in another place that the presence of Jesus was there to heal. I want to say this morning that Jesus is here, in the sense that his Holy Spirit is here, and his presence is here to minister to you and to minister to me. And when we come to church, whatever the reason may be that we are here this morning, that does not in any way affect Jesus in the sense that he somehow will discount you from receiving what you need. You see, as Jesus is here in church, he looks around and he sees a whole variety of people. It's interesting that as he looks around, he sees that there are people there who are not wanting to see the power of God. There are people there who are not wanting to see people set free. There are people there who are not wanting to see God glorified. There are people there who, as far as they're concerned, church is a tradition that should continue to be followed. It's been the way it's been in the past. It is the way that it should be here in the present. And it's the way it should be in the future. And anything that seeks to in any way breach that tradition or somehow break the regulations and the rules that are laid down is not allowable. I wonder whether you and I sometimes put God in a box and we put certain boundaries in place and we say, well, God, we'll allow you to work within those boundaries, but we're not going to allow you to work outside of those boundaries. And if that is something you are doing, whether consciously or unconsciously, you need to realize that God is a God who moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. He's a God who loves to break out of the norm. A God who loves to break through the tradition. A God who loves to manifest himself in ways that he has not manifested himself before. And you see it time and time again displayed in the Word of God. So you see a man who is a shepherd in a wilderness seeing a bush that is burning but is not burnt up. God manifesting himself. You see a people of Israel who are gathered around a mountain where there is thunder and where there is lightning and where there is flames and where there is shaking, and God is present. You see a church that's been built, a synagogue that is being dedicated to God, and the king called Solomon is standing there and saying, Lord, let your presence come. And the glory of God comes and is manifested in such a way that all the people and all the priests and all the leaders fall face down in awe and wonder at the visitation of God. And here is Jesus. Jesus, who is Emmanuel, we are reminded in the Christmas season. God with us. God was present. But those who were prejudiced and those who were wanting to prevent the power of God from moving were sitting there with stony faces, saying, don't you do anything out of the ordinary on my watch. But I'm so glad that in that environment, there is the provision of God's grace. In other words, irrespective of how these people were thinking and how they were feeling, and the fact that God knew it. See, I find it sometimes quite challenging for me personally to realize that God knows exactly how I'm feeling and what I'm thinking this morning, right now. As I look out upon you all look wonderful. I have no idea whether you are thinking, well, as long as you're going to be talking for, or I wish I had his roast dinner. I wonder if he'd invite me around for a meal. I don't know what you're thinking, but God does. And here we see that Jesus knows what they are thinking. He knows about the fact that they do not want to see a ministry of healing and release and forgiveness flowing. But because of his grace, because of his willingness to break out of those boundaries that they are trying to set, we see that the scene is in place for a miracle to happen. And a miracle can happen this morning. A breakthrough can come for you personally in your own life because of the provision of God's grace. Not because in any way you or I have earned God's power or God's provision, but because God longs to give to us and pour out his power and his blessing in ways that we would never have expected. So here's this man sitting in the congregation. And a bit like Ray earlier on, suddenly he hears his name called. Oi, you down there in the congregation. Now, Jesus didn't quite put it like this, but you'll just have to allow me a bit of leeway here. You in the congregation, you with the withered hand, stand up. And so here is this man who privately, at that moment in time, thought, I wish I could hide. I wonder how you would feel if I suddenly picked on one of you and said, right, stand up. I want to speak to you about a word that God's given me, or I want to come and pray for you. Some of you might well welcome that. Some of you definitely would not. And so I wonder how this man felt when suddenly Jesus picks on him. He identifies him. He says, it's you. It's you. There have been times in my own life where I have been in a meeting or in a service where in some remarkable way, suddenly God has almost come, pointed a divine finger at me and said, it's you. I want to speak to you. I want to do something in your life. I want to create the opportunity for you to discover me in a way you never thought was possible when you turned up at this meeting this morning. And for this man, he was suddenly placed in a position of vulnerability. See, when Jesus says stand up in front of everybody, if I'd asked one of you to stand up, or indeed when Ray stood up and came here to the front, everybody saw him. Everybody noticed him. And so everybody in church now is looking at this man who Jesus has identified and said, I want you to stand up because I've got something I'm going to do in your life. And this man, in that vulnerability, he had no idea what was about to happen. He had no idea what Jesus was going to do. He had no idea why Jesus had picked on him. And I suspect there was a whole wealth of different feelings that flowed through his life. I wonder how you would feel if Jesus picks on you this morning and says, I've got something to do in your life that would change you. I've got something to give to you. I've got something to minister to you. I've got something that will change you and transform you. How would you respond? Well, what we do discover is this man clearly obeys what Jesus says. And Jesus then, having dealt with those who were not wanting to see the miraculous or the power of God displayed, now again speaks to this man. He says, right, you've prepared yourself by standing up. Now there's another step that you've got to take. It wasn't so much as a step, but it was a command to respond in a certain way. He says to the man with the withered hand, stretch out your hand. In other words, Jesus picks on the very area of weakness, the very area where this man was perhaps feeling that he didn't want it brought into attention. He didn't want it to be noticed by others. And what Jesus says, I want you to stretch out that hand, that hand which is withered, that hand which hinders you, that hand which is affected in some way, I want you to stretch it out. I want you to bring it into public eye. You know, sometimes we have to be vulnerable in order that God might minister to our lives. Sometimes we have to recognize that things that we have hidden need to be brought into the open. Things that we have felt somehow ashamed of need to be brought to the place where they are revealed, not necessarily in the public way that it was done here, but certainly in ways in which we recognize we are presenting to God the opportunity to change what has been impacting us. Because as the man presents his withered hand to Jesus, in that act of obedience, in that act of vulnerability, in that act of responding to the command of Jesus, as he does that, so he releases the resources of heaven that begins to flood into his life and flow into his body. And as his withered hand is stretched out, in that public arena where everyone can see, what everyone sees is a withered hand suddenly becoming completely whole. It became a living testimony to the power of God. It became a living testimony to how God could set someone free. A living testimony how God could take the withered areas of someone's life and enable that withered area to become the means by which God himself could be honored and glorified. And I want to say to you that for some of you, there are areas in your life where as you look at those areas and you reflect on them, you see them as barriers to what God can do in and through you. But if you will present them to God, then God will be able to do what you can't do. And God will be able to break through in ways you never thought possible. And God will release something of the power of his word, his creative word, that will bring to you release and healing and wholeness. There will be a display of his glory and his majesty and his power. As people looked on and saw God at work, so people were aware of the majesty of Jesus. So people were aware of what Jesus could accomplish and do. That individual who had all those limitations suddenly becomes the means of being an instrument that God uses to proclaim the good news, that the kingdom of God had come and that the power of God was available to minister to those that needed to break free. The Bible goes on to say that for this man, as a result of this ministry in his life, when Jesus moved on from this place, he went out into a quiet place. But the Bible says that crowds followed him. But also, interestingly, we discover, as well as a result of this healing, not only was there the increase in the desire for people to be where Jesus was in order that they might receive what he had to say to them and they might see the power of God displayed, but there was another group of people who we are told from that moment they wanted to plot how to get rid of Jesus. In other words, as a result of this moment in time, there was a distinction made between those who wanted to pursue Jesus and pursue his presence and pursue his power and pursue all that he wanted to accomplish and do and to pursue his kingdom coming in glory. And there were those who wanted to prevent any of that happening. To prevent Jesus from ministering, to prevent Jesus from displaying his power, to prevent Jesus from expanding his kingdom, to prevent Jesus from bringing glory to God his Father. It creates that environment of division. And certainly the challenge for each and every one of us, where do we sit? Are we on the side that seeks to pursue the presence of Jesus, to pursue all that Jesus has for us, to desire that we might know and experience his transformational power? Or are we those that sit on the side which are wanting things to remain as they always have been? Because if we are, then the danger is that we will seek to prevent God breaking through. As I come towards the conclusion of my thoughts, I want to say this. The effect of the personal impact on this man was profound. He had come in to church. We don't know why he was there, but he had come into church, not realizing that he would leave church different to how he came in. Because in that moment when he came into church, he came into the place where Jesus was present and where the power of God was available. And there in that environment, he discovered that he was not someone who was ignored, isolated, alone, or unknown to God. But he was someone who at that moment in time had been identified by God to become the means by which the power of God could be displayed. And for whatever reason you may have arrived here this morning, let me say to you that God identifies you. God knows you. God sees you. God knows what you're going through. He knows what your hopes are. He knows what your dreams are. He knows what your desires are. He knows what your restrictions are. He knows what your limitations are. He knows what the barriers are. He knows what you want to see in the future. He knows what there has been in the past. But he is a God, in knowing all of that, can come and say, it's you. It's your moment. It's a time for your miracle. It's a time for your breakthrough. For here this man hears himself being identified by the God of glory, told to present himself so that others might see him, might know a little bit about his story, about his background, might see something of his vulnerability, but in doing that, placing himself in the position where God could speak powerful words into his life and over his life. And as he then presented his vulnerability and his limitations, his restrictions to God, to see the power of God moving in such amazing ways, that which had limited him was removed from his life. And the profound impact upon him could not be underestimated. When he left church that morning, he went out different to how he came in. And my prayer is that for some of you this morning, you will go out different to how you came in. You might have come in feeling weak and discouraged and dismayed, feeling that somehow there's no future, somehow that God is not interested in you. But this morning you've understood and realized that God is actually not only interested in you, but is wanting to work in your life and through your life, to enable you to become like this man, the means by which his power and his glory might be displayed, and in order that through that his kingdom might grow and develop even more. To be someone who would have a personal story, a story that could be shared with others. This man could go to his neighbors, to his friends. He could show the evidence of what the power of God had done. And could say to them, do you know what? I went to church. Didn't know that when I went to church, it was going to be the day of my transformation. And for many of us, perhaps our transformational moment was the moment we went to church not knowing Jesus as a personal friend and savior. But in that moment of time, and for me as a 16-year-old, to know and discover an encounter with Jesus that was to change my life forever. To know that as a result of that encounter, that moment when Jesus spoke to me personally and called me and asked me what I was going to do with him, whether I would follow him or not, whether I would be all for him or not. In that moment of time, it was a moment in which I had a choice to make. But in making that choice, he went and brought me into a place of wholeness and completeness, into a place of transformation, into a place where I know my sins are forgiven, into a place where I know I have a place in heaven, into a place where I can sing songs about the coming of Jesus again and know that he is coming for me. Songs such as "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, I'll Be There." It all happened because of that personal encounter when Jesus came and healed hindrances, when Jesus came and made the withered man whole. May that be your experience and mine today, for the glory of Jesus. God bless you. And so, John, it's you. Could you please close in prayer before we pronounce a benediction to one another?
Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you came for the one with the withered hand. And as you did then, you do today. And each of us may have different withered hands. But we cry out to you this morning. We want your presence in our lives. And that is it there that shouldn't be. Lord, take it away. Burn it away. But bring your presence into our lives and the lives of those around us. That those around will see you and glorify your name. Jesus, we pray.
And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day, an amazing week, and an encounter with Jesus.